The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley. We also have Gab Marcotti and Frank Leboeuf along for the ride, and it's been a fabulous day of action in the Champions League. Goals galore across the board, and we'll be speaking about most of these games. Man City with six goals against Leipzig, although they did concede three of their own. Liverpool-Milan 3-2, that one finished at Anfield. What a game it was. All the way down to Inter, who were beaten 1-0 by Real Madrid. We'll start at Anfield, though, Stevie. That was a weird game, wasn't it, after how Liverpool started and then everything that turned around?
Well, I had to actually wipe my eyes at half-time to see the actual score was 2-1 to AC Milan. I mean, Liverpool absolutely battered them for 42 minutes. And then they fell asleep, particularly in the middle of the park, who found themselves ahead of the ball. And all of a sudden, Rubic puts the ball in the back of the net, and 2 minutes later, Diaz scores to make it 2-1, and the place is thinking, and we're thinking, what's going on here? So the fact that they came back and won the game is not a surprise, because again, they completely dominated, in my opinion, the second half. But I'll tell you what, half-time, everybody's thinking, surely this is not what we're going to get again from Liverpool.
I think it was the penalty miss that sort of just took a bit of the momentum away from Liverpool. Unlike Mo Salah's record is very, very good from the spot. But, you know, you just felt if they had scored that, then they would have just continued on in that manner, but they didn't. It was a very good save. And then you just felt as half-time was approaching, Liverpool was almost like they just switched off a little bit, and Milan scored. It was a couple of good goals from their point of view. I'm sure Jurgen Klopp could pick some holes in some of the tracking of runners and the defending. This and a five-goal thriller in scoreline, but not in performance, really, because Liverpool, for most part, I thought were head and shoulders above this Milan side.
Now, Milan back in the Champions League, Gab. It's been a long time since they were there. What's the reaction been in Italy to tonight's results?
Well, it's funny because everybody underscored the fact that Liverpool were exceptionally dominant. And the two goals were against the run of play when they switched off, as the boys said. But it was funny, post-game, Fabio Capello, who's doing some work on television, he does the two-way with the manager, Stefano Pioli, and he's like, well, I noticed that when you guys were in possession, you kept passing the ball sideways and passing the ball sideways slowly. I guess that wasn't part of the plan, was it? And by the way, I love the fact that, you know, you get former coaches just putting current coaches through the ringer on live TV. And I think Pioli had to admit that obviously that wasn't the plan, but that, you know, Liverpool were just more dynamic. They covered the area of the pitch better. They pressed better. And probably qualitatively, they have an edge as well. And when all those things come together, it's really, really hard for them to go and play against. You know, Milan might have approached the game a bit differently if they'd had one of their two big center forwards starting, whether it's Zlatan or Olivier Giroud, maybe hold the ball up a little better. But even then, you know, that can't be an excuse. This game was far more one-sided than the scoreline, but you do take the positives. You take the positives of the reaction. You do take the positive of the fact that in the second half, some of the defending from Tomori, I thought, and Simon Kjær was very good. And you go on and live to fight another day. I mean, it's been a long, long time since they were last in the Champions League.
Yeah. How did Liverpool look to you, Frank?
They did well. I mean, I enjoyed the investment. I enjoyed the intensity of the game and how Liverpool engaged the game. Everything for me was absolutely spot on, especially, you know, if you compare with last season with no fans, and you realize that playing at in Anfield with the fans behind you makes a huge difference, and they go for it. And well, I watched at the same time. I was Bruges, Paris, and that game Liverpool against Milan, and you can see the differences of pace. That was fantastic from everywhere. And the thing is that I like is it's in football. That's the beauty of it. There is no scenario, no script, and nothing is written. It's not a done deal. Everything can happen, and everything happened in that game. And there was a turn of event, as Steve mentioned, just before halftime. But Liverpool kept on going, and at the end of the day, they really deserve to win, and they keep on going like that. I'm pretty sure they're going to be not too far from being the Champions League winner.
We should remember they left Thiago Mane on the bench along with Virgil van Dijk, and right. Bobby Roberto Firmino was injured. Like, we know Liverpool are way further down the road than this Milan side, who have had a 100% record start in Serie A. But I think it was a calculated risk from Jurgen Klopp in terms of the team selection with the injuries that he had last year. And a long old season, and he took that risk, and it could have bit him in the backside, but it didn't, and that's the important thing.
These group stages, we're going to get games like this because managers are trying to pick teams that are not necessarily their first team, their starting 11, so that they can rest players. And this game is a great example of Liverpool resting Virgil van Dijk. And really, I can honestly say, they wouldn't have lost those two goals if Virgil van Dijk plays. So, they've gotten away with it. Virgil van Dijk's got a rest. But as I said, I think you'll see more scorelines and more games like this in the group stages because the big teams in particular are trying to get people games.
Now, meanwhile, Gab, Atleti tied their game with Porto. Do Milan think they can get out of this group?
I think they have to think that. I mean, you know, look, when you look at this group, when you look at the six games you're going to play, the one where you're probably least likely to budget for points is Liverpool away when it's match day one. You know, I think they're going to look at this and they're going to say, all right, you know, we lost this one, but I think they genuinely feel that they have a shot at maybe getting the 3 points at home. Why not? I think this is a Milan team that it's a young team, but it's not a team that's lacking in confidence. They simply came up against Liverpool side, who are much further along and are a better team with better players and possibly better coached as well.
So is it too hard then at this stage to decide what you're going to make of it? Like, we're looking at a Liverpool who aren't that far removed from winning the Champions League. Can you already tell if a team can go on and do that at this stage in these matches?
Well, I don't think Milan. I think somewhere like Milan are just fighting to try and get out. If you remember back to last year, you get into Milan, finished bottom of the group, went on to win Serie A. We know Juventus have had a struggle this year. They won 3-0 yesterday. It's not been an easy start for them. And I think from Milan's point of view and Pioli's point of view, last year was certainly a positive building block. OK, they fell away domestically towards the end of the season and it didn't go as well as the start, clearly. But I think it's a building process. You know, we've seen Man City and PSG spend an awful lot of money trying to build to this stage of winning it. And I think these teams know, you know, apart from the odd freak year, that where their level is. Mm. And that's maybe sneaking out of this group stage. But I don't think it's much further than that at best.
They sitting looking at this group before a ball's kicked. If you're AC Milan, straight away you go, right, we have to beat Porto twice to have a chance of getting out of this group. But realistically, they're looking at Europa League. That's what they're looking at. They're probably not expecting anything from Liverpool. So it's kind of, well, we can maybe get Atletico Madrid on a bad day, where they can't put the ball in the back of the net, where they're just being them and they just don't play well. But really, it's got to be, let's get in the Europa League, but if we have any chance of getting through the group, we have to beat Porto twice. That's where you start.
Gab.
Yeah, I'm not... I I know it's a popular idea that all these groups are decided ahead of time. It's already obvious who's going to go through. But I kind of disagree. I mean, Porto, let's not forget, took a point off of Atletico Madrid. They reached the quarterfinals last season. I wouldn't write them off as not being capable of taking points off of Liverpool even. Liverpool's away record in this competition, I think everybody knows what it is. It's not good. That's under Klopp. So are Liverpool the best team in the group? Yes. For my money, they're one of the top three or four sides in the world. And they completely deserve to win this game tonight. But I'm not going to sit here after a match they won and say, well, it's a done deal. Atletico Madrid and Liverpool are going to waltz through. And, you know, the other sides are at best are thinking Europa League. I still think every group is still pretty much wide open.
Meanwhile, Frank, you watched Club Brugge against PSG. You saw Messi, Mbappe and Neymar all start together. But you said it wasn't a good game.
It wasn't a good game from Paris Saint-Germain. It was an exceptional game from Bruges. They partied, you know, after the game, you know, like they won the game. I was expecting to see for the first time what we call the M&M, Messi, Neymar and Mbappé. And I, in fact, I saw Lang, the Dutch player, and the kid Telere, the Belgic player playing up front in Bruges, entertaining me. I was very disappointed with Neymar. We barely saw him. Mbappe got an assist to Herrera, but otherwise we didn't really saw him. And Messi was maybe the only one trying some good stuff, and he hit the bar once. Tried to give a good ball into position to Mbappe. But that was it. They didn't defend, the three, but we didn't expect them for doing that. The middle of the park, the midfield players in Paris Saint-Germain were quite poor with Paredes, for example. Verratti wasn't there. Gay wasn't there. So they, defensively, they weren't into position. And they conceded a stupid goal with a big mistake from Hakimi and Herrera on the side with Paredes no covering. It was a very average performance from Paris Saint-Germain, and they will have to react if they want to compose with a better situation against Manchester City, because that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough.
Gab, is there any way that PSG wouldn't get out of this group?
I think it's highly unlikely given the record of the competition, given the players that they have, but I think it does serve as a little bit of a wake-up call, and I agree with Frank. I thought Bruges really played really, really well. They were brave. They played as if they had nothing to lose. But there's just so much talent, so many individual match winners, and I think it's unlikely. I'd be shocked if they managed to stumble in the group. But obviously, this is a game where I think they had budgeted 3 points.
Craig, how do you...
I mean, we can sit here and talk about these groups and we can say, yeah, you know, Porto did well last year. They knocked Juventus out of that, you know, late, whatever it was, free kick or whatever. And, you know, Bruges played well against PSG. PSG didn't play well, as Frank said. But Man City and PSG will get out of this group.
But okay, so Man City's
so game. We can sit here and butter it up any way we want.
Man City score 6 but concede 3. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that you know, well, one, it was a change of defence and Ake played. Steve, go on.
I was doing it again. I went, every time Ake plays, they lose goals for fun. They do. Every time Ake plays centre-back, Man City lose goals for fun. And they did it again tonight.
I think
it's kind of like what I said earlier about Van Dijk. That's why in these group games, you're going to get crazy games. Because you've got players playing who normally wouldn't play. And so they're going to make mistakes. And no question, at least two of these three goals were down to Aki's bad positioning and bad decision making.
I don't think Guardiola will be purring about the 6 goals. And I think he'll be more angry, upset about the analysis of the 3 goals that they lost and the way that they allowed a Leipzig side who have struggled at the start of the season in the Bundesliga, who have lost some key players, not just this year, but over the last couple of years, and have a new manager who's under a bit of pressure. And I think defensively that just was not good enough. Now, it's 3 points, and yeah, the City will create chances against almost every team.
But the one thing City did, certainly domestically last year, they did not take their eye off the ball in terms of their defensive unit. And I think he will not want that creeping back into their game, because against the better teams, then the same thing will happen to them that happened last year. They won't win this competition.
Gab, what are your thoughts on Man City after that game?
I agree with Craig. In fact, I was wondering, you know, if you're Pep, I think, given that he's a perfectionist, you view this game as half empty, not half full. And you realize that, I know it's easy to just blame Ake, and he certainly was part of the problem. I don't think Ruben Dias had a great game either. It did look like they simply switched off. They're 2-0 up early. They're playing a Leipzig side where Jesse Marsch made a bunch of changes after the Bayern game. Understandable. And they're going and they're pressing and they're running around. The problem is, if you try to press City, they have so much quality. They can just pass the ball around you all day. And they did that very, very effectively. They get to 2-0, a bit fortuitous. They feel like they're in control. And then they lose that goal. And then they lose the other one after the break, after the Mahrez penalty. And then you have these little situations where, you know, where Leipzig keep scoring. And it's not a situation you want to be in if you're City. You want to be in control. And sure, you can score six because you've got so much more talent and you're brilliant going forward. And Grealish, you know, does that individual run where he turns Adams inside out. But it's not the way I think Pep would want them to play, certainly not in Europe.
Yeah, especially with the start that Leipzig have had to the season. Anyways, some of these guys will be with me on... Sorry, Frank, go on.
Yes, I just want to go back to what Craig mentioned, the fact that City and Paris Saint-Germain will go through that group stage, and of course they will, but I think it's important to finish first or second, you know, depending on if you're going to receive on the second game as well, you know. So losing 2 points for Paris Saint-Germain against Bruges, it has to be considered, because it's going to have an effect if Paris Saint-Germain finishes second, play the first game in Parc des Princes and play second game whoever it would be. That's going to have maybe an effect on their future. So, yes, we talk about that. Yes, they're going to go out. In which position? That's the main important thing for me that we have to talk about.
Important for you, Stevie, to talk about?
It's too early to say. You know, we've year after year, somebody who comfortably win the group ends up getting Barcelona because they were second in their group, for example. So you don't actually know until the groups play themselves out.
Is that such a bad thing this year?
No.
Well, it's
getting
not.
It you want to get them.
No, it's as Frank says. You obviously you want to win your group because that gives you a certain advantage. But at the same time, you don't know what's going to happen in the others, and you might be unlucky and get a Barcelona, as I said.
Let's see if any of these guys can agree in extra time later on today. We've got Craig, Stevie and Frank answering your questions. And you can always catch extra time on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Inter were beaten 1-0 at home by a goal in the 89th minute by Rodrigo of Real Madrid. After the game, Gabriele Marcotti, Edin Dzeko said it's a match that Inter shouldn't have lost. Would you agree?
Well, look, it was certainly very, very tight. They had their chances. Dzeko had a great chance. I thought Skriniar had one as well. They went toe-to-toe pretty effectively, I thought, against Real Madrid. But it was curious, you know, in the end, we think of Real Madrid as an old team and Ancelotti, a guy who likes veterans. And in the end, it's the two kids, Camavinga and Rodrigo, who combined for the goal.
Yeah, Camavinga, what a couple of days it's been for him in terms of match days, coming off the bench to get a goal for Real Madrid in the league and then coming off the bench to get an assist in this one. Looks like quite the signing for them, doesn't it?
No question. I think Camavinga gives you something different. You know, we think of him as a longer-term project, and you know, in the future, Valverde center right, Camavinga center left, and you're set for 10 years. But he's already shown that he can be an impact sub. He's not just an all-rounder in midfield. He has that bit of quality. He has that unselfishness and that eye to find a teammate. And I think Ancelotti set up maybe a little bit more conservative by picking Lucas Vazquez in the front three. But in the end, I think he sensed what would happen. He put on the fresh legs and he was rewarded.
If you look at the group, Group D, Sheriff are top of Group D at the moment with Real Madrid. It's Sheriff, Real Madrid, Inter and Shakhtar Donetsk. Inter are getting out of this group anyway, aren't they, Craig?
Well, they should. It's not... I don't think it's going to be as easy for them, but they should. They didn't play badly in this game. But let's not forget, I don't know, it almost felt like they sacked it last year, this competition, and focused on winning the Italian title. That, I'm not saying that, but it almost kind of felt like that a little bit. No?
Gab?
Hey, Craig, I really don't want to make excuses for Antonio Conte, but last year, yes, they had some poor games against Real Madrid, but that last game against Shakhtar Donetsk, which cost them a place in the next round, I think they had 99 shots on goal. I'm sort of rounding up here. They absolutely dominated, and it was one game where they were, I thought, extremely, extremely unlucky not to advance. There's other situations where they've been very, very fortunate. Last year was not one of them in any way, and I think it was after that that they decided to put all their eggs in the Serie A basket, and obviously finishing bottom of the group, they had no Europa League in the way either.
So they're definitely going to advance this year, aren't they, Gab?
A different story. Also because they need the money.
Couple of years.
No question about it. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, if you look at Sheriff, you know, who would have had them beating Shakhtar Donetsk in the opener, right? So I just think there's often a lot more twists and turns. But yes, on paper, Real Madrid and Inter are clear favourites in this group.
There's no question. This is about Inter, because they're better than both of these sides, Sheriff and Shakhtar. But the last couple of years, it's almost been like Europe has been a weight on their back when it's come to playing games, particularly at home, where they just can't get it done. Even when they dominate the game, they can't score the goals when it's needed. So this is, in my opinion, it's got nothing to do with Sheriff or Shakhtar. This is about Inter. If they can get their head in gear and get this weight off their back about just being rotten in Europe, then there's no question they should be getting through this group. It's up to them. They can have no excuses.
And usually,
I just don't think Conte was too unhappy to, guess what, not even make the Europa League last year. Do you know what I mean? Oh, we'll finish bottom, concentrate. And it's all very well saying, yeah, then we'll put all our eggs in that basket. And that was very successful for them. And he knew that. Now, I'm not suggesting they went out on purpose to do that, but I think subconsciously it wasn't an issue for them. But look, this year, are they strong? No, because they've lost some key players, but they've got some players who... Obviously, they've played really well for Italy at the Euros and had great success. So they're still a strong side, there's no doubt about it. But I don't think it's going to be as easy a group as some may think for Inter again.
Let's focus on Group C. Dortmund beat Besiktas on the day. Goals from Jude Bellingham and Erling Haaland, of course. But what about that Jude Bellingham, hey, Gab? He's got quite the future ahead of him, hey?
He's got quite the present going for him as well. Okay, I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. I was curious to see how they were going to line up, given that, you know, they lost three goals in the last game playing that diamond, which few people seem to like. Certainly I don't like. But then they find themselves 2-0 up, but Bellingham running the show, despite the fact that, you know, he knows he's got Julian Brandt in there who isn't great at defending in midfield. He manages to do both. He helps out the center backs. He creates going forward. He scored a goal. And you saw that Marco Rosa wasn't going to push his luck, because obviously at halftime he sent on Axel Witsel to protect that lead. So shows he's not purely romantic, that Marco Rosa. But you're right, on the day it was all about Bellingham, and it's crazy to think that this guy's still a teenager.
Yeah, and obviously the young guns at this team and Borussia Dortmund always going to be interesting to watch, especially in a competition like the Champions League, surely.
You know, the incredible thing is that Dortmund, yes, we know they bring through the young players, but I'd love to know how they get these young guys to be, number one, so composed in the final third. Listen, there's a reason why forwards get generally get paid more money than defenders, because it's harder. It's harder, you've got less space, there's people trying to kick you, people trying to hunt you down. But these young Dortmund players, Sancho's the same, now it's Bellingham. When you get into that penalty box, it's very difficult to have the composure and the vision of what's going on around you to pick the ball out, whether it's a pass or whether you're putting it in the back of the net. But Bellingham has both, no question. He dribbles, he's got such good feet, he dribbles past the defender, he then picks his head up, picks out Haaland, perfect pass, Haaland just has an empty net to put the ball in. To do that at his age is incredible. And I'd love to know how Dortmund get these young guys to get that composure and awareness so quickly.
It's an interesting group. If I'm just to give you these names, Ajax, Dortmund, Besiktas, Sporting, which two teams are getting out of it?
Ajax.
Ajax, Dortmund, Besiktas and Sporting.
I'm going to say Dortmund and Ajax. But anyway. Let me go back to Bellingham. That's an easier question.
It's a nicer one to answer, surely.
Well, if you lose 5-1 at home...
Jude Bellingham has everything.
Sorry.
Jude Bellingham has... the attacking prowess, the balance, the composure that Stevie mentioned and the boys of the Gab talked about. But he can do the defensive part of the game. He's physically getting stronger. He's quite a tall lad anyway at the best of times. He can add goals to his game. He's got a great passing range. I mean, my God, when Dortmund, how the scouting system, when they saw this young man at Birmingham City, just amazing to go and pluck these players, convince them to come to Dortmund, where they get a great grounding, where they learn from some of the best people. They get game time in the Bundesliga, and they obviously, most of them improve, and then they get sold on. He's going to be the next one. Once Haaland, this big transfer happens, and it will, he's next, probably out of all that lot. And it's not going to be under 100 million, telling you that, not for this young man.
It's not often as well that Dortmund are outscored, maybe in a group at this stage, but that was the case tonight with Ajax, and Craig couldn't believe that. I put Sebastian Haller and Marco van Basten in the same sentence today, Gab, because Seb Haller scoring 4 goals makes him only the second player to score 4 on his Champions League debut since the great Marco van Basten back in 1992.
Yeah, I still can't believe that we're benching them in the same breath. And look, I think he's big. He's got good feet. He's, you know, I know he had his issues in the Premier League, and so some people look down on him. But when you get the kind of service that you know, from Tadic, from especially on tonight, Antony, I thought was very good coming down that right flank. You know, in midfield, Gravenberch. The thing about Ajax is they play, and they don't seem to pay attention to the scoreline. They keep playing, and they keep putting those balls in, Sporting very much at sixes and sevens, and he was there to capitalize. I don't think he's somebody who's going to go and, you know, necessarily go and create his own shots. He's a supply-dependent striker, but when you get as much a supply as he does, he will convert for you. So no question that they're absolutely flying, and they're fearless, a little bit like the Ajax side a few years ago.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of talk about the Champions League and what we've seen so far on the Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure you download that, the latest one, wherever you do get your podcast. And as you can see, Gab is back with Jules.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Liverpool's Harvey Elliott has come out to defend Pascal Strauch, the player whose challenge left him with a dislocated ankle. He says, "Sorry about this, Pascal. I think it's wrong, but it'll soon blow over, brother, and you'll be back in no time smashing it again. Keep positive." That's because he's had a 3-match ban, and these are the games that he'll miss: Newcastle, Fulham in the Cup, and West Ham. It's nice to see him do that, but it's interesting to see it, isn't it, given that it's from a hospital bed, surgery's coming up, but I think he's trying to say he didn't mean to do it, and he's defending him here.
Well, he is, and I think Harvey Elliott, like most other people that think they know anything about football, saw that it was a challenge, that was one that was going for the ball, nothing to do with the man, just mistimed it. And unfortunately for Harvey Elliott, he came out on the wrong end of it. Now, the red card, again, I think is justified. And the rules say if you get a red card that's justified, it's a 3-game ban. Now, again, we all know that there was no intent there, which is why the feeling of maybe 3 is too much. But at the end of the day, the fact that he has dislocated his ankle tells you that the tackle was a little reckless and it was wrong. And so you have to go with the 3 games. I think it's the best decision to keep him with the 3 games. But I think it's nice that Harvey Elliott has understood there was no malice involved in it. And that's why he's being nice about it.
It's a classy move.
I don't think there's any surprise it's not been rescinded for the reasons that Stevie said. Clearly, I think most people's opinion, if not everybody, is it was just a footballing incident. But once the severity of the injury comes from the challenge, then it's deemed to be have somewhat of a reckless nature, then they're never going to rescind that appeal. Primarily because the young man dislocated his ankle. And listen, he's going to hopefully recover fully and he'll be rehabbing and he'll get a 3-game ban and everybody moves on. And that's the occupational hazard that we've all played under, is that these things can happen. But no hard feelings from the young fella. I think he realises that Strauch was not out to try and maim him. He was just out to make a challenge. And unfortunately, his ankle got caught underneath his body weight. It was a horrible incident, but Leeds were never going to win that one.
Can you imagine yourself doing the same if you'd have had a leg break, saying, "No, don't worry," to the other player, Stevie, back in the day?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Maybe, Craig?
No.
Even in circumstances like this one?
No.
Ah, oh, very classy move then from Harvey Elliott. Anyway, more Premier League action.
You think we're classless?
Maybe. I'm just glad that you don't have your legs broken and that you got through it injury-free, all right? More Premier League coming up. But, Gab, I'll get you on a final word on this one. What did you make of Harvey Elliott coming out and saying this?
Well, I think it was a class act. I think, you know, he wanted to make it very clear that there was no malice in it. In terms of knowing what exactly happened, I live in the UK where broadcasters decided that it was so horrifying that we wouldn't get to see a replay. So I only got to see it in real time. And it looked to me like it was really fortuitous and unlucky what happened with him. And, you know, what Craig said about the severity of the foul being part of the reason why he gets the 3-match ban, he's completely right. That's the way it works. I don't think it's the way it should work. I think in a perfect world, we should judge each incident on its own merit. So I have a bit of sympathy for, in fact, I have a lot of sympathy for Strauch. And I think Elliott is a class act for coming out and saying that.
I mean, we can't have players not making challenges. That's not what fans, pundits, everybody wants to see. We want to see. And listen, one of the things that supporters get off their seats at, whether we like it or not, is a bit of aggression. When somebody makes a good, it's not just great play. Supporters pay the money and they want to see the passion. They want to see the commitment from players. It's their team. It's what they turn up to see. They don't turn up to see people just saying, yeah, yeah, go and do what you want. They want to see that. They want to see that desire to go and play for the shirt. And you can never take that out of the game. But unfortunately, with that, and we've both played in games and we've seen it, with that, not as much as it used to, but come some nasty injuries to players. Now, there's more protection now than ever, and that's rightly so, but you're never going to take it completely out of the game. And I think that's what the young man is saying here. Listen, I'm going to move on, but let's not forget, this is a contact sport that we play, and when players are flying in at that speed, this is the kind of thing that can happen sometimes.
I think you've got to give credit to the players on the field, because about 10 minutes after this challenge, there was the exact same challenge on Sadio Mane over the other side of the field, and nobody said a word. Mane ended up losing the ball, and Leeds went away with the ball. Nobody said a word about it, and it was pretty much 100% the same challenge. So I think we've got to give the players credit in the field, because it could have been very easy for Liverpool players to start complaining and having a go.
Frank, can you imagine coming out in defence of a player who broke your leg?
Well, I will go with the guys. You know, it will be hard to forgive, because even if it's like all the guys said, it was a fair challenge. I would have felt, angry about the fact that I got my ankle completely broken. I think what Harvey Elliott just said and just did, it's absolutely a class act, and hat off to the young guy. No, I don't think I will have forgiven anybody, and it would have been for me a race to go back and to come back on the field to get my revenge, for sure.
Nasty.
I don't, I thought Frank was going to be all the romantic one and say, yeah, I would have said sorry in another world. He's got that nasty streak, hasn't he? He has.
Nah.
We wish Harvey Elliott well in his recovery. But more Premier League action coming up for you this weekend. Here are some of the fixtures you've got to look forward to. Liverpool in action against Crystal Palace, but it's on Sunday. And there's two big ones, West Ham against Manchester United and Spurs taking on Chelsea. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spitting, tension palpable, there is much on the line.
La Liga, stream every match on ESPN Plus.
Every single Liga game available for you to see on ESPN Plus this weekend. There's a couple of good ones to pick out, including Atleti against Athletic and a classic in Spanish football, Valencia taking on Real Madrid. On Monday, Barcelona will face Granada. Look at the papers here with the reaction to Barca's loss to Bayern. Poor Barca, say Marca. Another thrashing, another bath given to them by Bayern. It is what it is. Is the headline in Mundo Deportivo, the sad reality in sport. and far, far away the next headline. Things not very positive back in Barcelona with reaction to that one. Sid Lowe will be with us on tomorrow's show to tell us much more about it. So make sure you tune in and don't miss that as he tells us everything that's going on in Spain and all the reaction to Barca's loss to Bayern. United States taking on Paraguay, a friendly between the women. It is Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, that you will be able to see this. There have been reports of US soccer offering identical contract proposals for the men and the women, but the women claim that this isn't true. A statement here says USSF's PR stunts and bargaining through the media will not bring us any closer to a fair agreement. In contrast, we are committed to bargaining in good faith to achieve equal pay and the safest working conditions possible. The proposal that was made recently to us does neither. Well, Jeff Carlisle breaks all of this down, so make sure you check out the website to see the latest from him. And Julie Foudy, who'll be on the call for the game between the USA and Paraguay, will be with us on the show to discuss this, so make sure you join us then. All right, a little bit of championship action for you. Stoke City taking on Barnsley. Sam Surridge opens the scoring here for Stoke. Waiting.
Well, you think the cross is going to get cut out. Defenders make a mess of it. And that's a nice calm finish. Ball takes quite a big hop as well. And he side-foots it into the back of the net.
Yeah, free kick was the leveller, though, in the 38th minute from Woodrow.
That'll work. Oh.
Not much you can do about that, is there? Whoa. Pace, accuracy.
This one finishes 1-1. So a point apiece for these sides. This is the table. Just to let you know that Middlesbrough got themselves a result, finally.
Oh, we want
who cares?
Nobody was asking all interested.
I thought you might want to know, just in case. No, I thought you were wondering, but you just didn't want to ask, you know.
In fact, I don't see them in the top half of that
Neither
team.
Do I. I wish I did.
I thought Middlesbrough were defunct. No,
it's Fulham and West Brom play at the top. Anyway, more Bundesliga action coming up this weekend on ESPN Plus, where you can catch every game. These are all the games that you do have to look forward to, and we'll see how the teams fare after venturing out in the Champions League this week. But that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC.
Any Middlesbrough references before the end of the show?
No, not at the moment. Maybe we can get some into extra time. We definitely want some stories off these guys. Join
Where
us.
Is Middlesbrough?
You and me used to be friends.
Seriously?
See you for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig Burley, Stevie Nicol and Frank LeBoeuf are here with us. They cannot wait to answer your questions.
Frank wants to know if I'm in a better mood than yesterday's Extra Time.
Are you?
No.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see
Frank,
how good the questions
what about yesterday's
oh
questions?
Oh, my God.
Yesterday's
oh
questions.
Oh, my God.
The filtering department should have been fired on the spot for allowing those things.
Well, let's see what you think of today, shall we? Oh. The first one is fired.
I don't think a lot of them, and I've not seen them already.
The other week I was on with you, and you said, that was a nice Extra Time. There were some good questions
today. Yeah, but it's gone downhill since then, and I've now decided it's my goal in life to get off the Extra Time segments.
Okay, well, that you'd said about
the other or that the questions dry up.
Or it could be your goal in life to actually impress Craig with a question. All right, let's see if this...
Well, see, everybody
good
thinks...
Luck with
it,
that.
I know.
Good luck. Everybody thinks it's... Like,
to impress him with anything.
Well, as I said yesterday, people think that I'm that I don't want to be on this.
You just said you're trying everything to get off it.
They also take it seriously. This is not proper. This is not proper analysis. It's Extra Time, you idiots.
But it's their chance to ask them a question.
Well, ask a decent
question.
One.
All right, what do you think of this one?
The guff we had yesterday.
Craig, what do you think of this Real Madrid squad, and how far will they go in the Champions League and La Liga? That's all right.
La Liga, they've got every chance because there's probably going to be, well, not Barcelona on yesterday's performance. So they're looking better of the two Spanish giants, for sure. When you're playing Luke de Jong up front and you've got Karim Benzema, that helps. Obviously, Atleti are going to be strong. But in this competition, I'm going to give them to the quarterfinals. What do you think?
Couldn't disagree. There's at least four better teams than them in the competition.
But was it you who said every time you look up at a screen when Vinicius Junior is on, it feels like someone's running after him?
I know.
It's a bit quick.
It was the weekend was the best against Celta. I mean, the right back he must have slept for a fortnight after that game. Because all he could do was, I don't know what number Vinicius is, ask the right back that played for Celta. Because all he could do was chase after him. That's all he could see.
But bearing in mind how problematic the Spanish transfer window sort of shenanigans debacle was over there, particularly for those two, Super League, players leaving, managers coming in, Ancelotti has to be pretty pleased with their start, considering. I'm not saying they've played brilliantly, but they've got the results he's needed, unlike at the other end, where it's been just a disaster. So I think he's got to be pretty happy. But quarterfinals, Max, what?
We're off to a good start. This is not a bad start.
Don't jinx it.
All right, I won't. I'm just going to...
Right, that's it. I'm done. Frank,
next one's for you. Frank, is the PSG performance today more proof that Verratti might be the most important player for PSG?
That who? That Verratti? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, the most important player for Paris Saint-Germain doesn't exist because they never found him. The midfield player, defensive midfield player that you have for Liverpool, Anderson, like you have for Chelsea, N'Golo Kante, like you have for Bayern Munich, Kimmich, you don't have in Paris Saint-Germain. But definitely, from the player that they have, Verratti is crucial in the middle of the park.
See, that is a very reasonable question.
Analysis, yes. And analysis.
And analysis.
Yes. Not sure about that.
Yes. Especially
okay.
The analysis.
We're two for two.
Guff what they got, we got yesterday.
We're two for two.
That's a very reasonable question.
I like the next one. Looking at PSG's forward line today, what was the best front three or forward line during your respective playing careers? You, Craig.
Well, I'll go first. Okay. The best one, the best three I can come up with, and I was lucky, I mean, at Derby with Ravinelli and Celtic with Henrik, but a front three of Hullet, Zola and Mark Hughes.
Not bad.
Yeah, I like it.
What about yours, Frank?
Well, you know, I had the chance to play once and it was a big, big game, but I would say for the national team. We can say the national teams as well, or only the club team?
Yeah, that you've ever played with.
Yep.
Okay, that I ever played with or played against?
It has to be with.
Freaking French.
With. Okay. Thierry Henry, Yuri Djorkaeff and Zinedine Zidane.
All right.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad at all. Now I'm interested, though, in who it was against. What would it have been if you were to pick against?
Against, I was Rivaldo, Bebeto and Ronaldo for Brazil.
Yes, yeah. That's mine as well.
That's
Frank's talking about the 98 World Cup.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They were easy.
Yeah, easy peasy. Go on then, Stevie.
Well, it's a lot easier for me because it was a... front two when I was playing. That's easy, I get the answers easy as well. Rush and Dalglish. Don't get any better.
All right. We're doing well, yeah. I'm worried now. All right. Craig.
They're all good players.
This is from Don Hutchison's maths teacher.
Well, they're not doing very well. The maths teacher's not.
Didn't do a good job on him.
Oh, Don's not at school again today.
For Craig, what is the most important skill he learned during his football playing days that serves him well playing golf?
What's the noise in the background?
It sounds like
somebody's playing a game on a console shooting. What's? Do you hear that?
It sounds like the monster out of Stranger Things, but I don't know if anyone knows what that is.
It's like a bat flying off.
What was your question?
What is the most important skill you learned during your football playing days that serves you well during your playing golf?
Oh, it serves me well.
Concentration.
Patience. Oh, you've got loads of patience, Craig.
I'll tell you what, I have more patience on a golf course than him.
Yeah. Maybe we should do extra time on the golf course then.
More patience than him.
Is that true, though?
On the golf course.
On the golf course?
Yeah.
Are you impatient on the golf course?
Oh, am I ever. If we have to wait in the tee box for more than, 60 seconds, I'm starting to moan. In fact, and even before we've got to wait, I'm anticipating having to wait, and then I start moaning. I'll turn to him and go, by the way, see if they don't got a move on, we're going to end up catching them. And if we do, we're going to have to play through them. And he's like,
You know what?
When we played the previous course that we used to play in the area,
I walked off a couple.
There, I don't know. He called me one day and said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm just like half a mile away or whatever." He said, "Get down here. There's people in the car park." There was a couple of cars.
Hadn't even started yet.
They weren't even started. They hadn't started. They were getting the clubs out of the trunk of their car. So he gave me the hurry up, because we need to beat these to the first tee. Oh yeah.
Who that day I walked off with you and your mate?
Oh, Rob.
Aye. I had enough. Three holes in the trot, we'd been on tee box for about 5 minutes.
Impatient.
And I just went like that. I said, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm going home.
Yeah.
He's not patient. No. One thing I always find, though, working with ex-pros, is that you're always on time, and I'm feeling that comes from being professional footballers.
If
you don't get on time...
But still, you still carry it into your career afterwards.
If my meeting's at 10 o'clock in the morning, I don't like to get there at 10 o'clock. I like to get there at 9:50 or whatever.
Now, if you're on time, you're late.
There is somebody else in my household.
Right.
Who doesn't? And I suppose...
Not Cheryl by any chance.
Well, she wasn't a professional footballer. She didn't get fined if she wasn't on time.
But anyway, I like to get there a little early.
Frank, are you like that? Do you always have to be on time?
Yes, you know, I was born on time. They say to my mother that I would come at 9 a.m. and I arrive at 9 a.m. So I'm always on time. I'm always early, like Stevie. If you're on time, you're late. So I'm
That's
always
early. That's just what I thought, Frank. I just knew that with Frank. He was talking before he was even out the room.
Well, I want him to talk now.
And he's never stopped since that day.
Actually, Frank, I'm really interested in what you're going to say next, because the next question's for you. Frank, what was your first impression of Craig when you first arrived at Chelsea?
Here's a guy with no teeth.
Oh,
God.
Yeah, that was pretty much the first thought that I had, you know. How come you can take your teeth out to play a game and put your teeth back, you know, when you finish the game? That was pretty awkward for me.
We didn't do that in France, no?
No. I never seen that before you, I have to say. That was exclusive, especially for me. But I think... amazed me the most is that I found that Craig was a very technical and very precise player, but he was also a warrior. He was ready to go for a fight. And in France,
not that
you
way.
Were either, let's say, a technical player. Let's say you will be a technical player, but you will be not willing on going for the fight, tackling, not giving up. And Craig had both. And I think it was a very useful teammate. So when he was alongside Denis Wise, for example, and Roberto Di Matteo, we knew that in the middle of the park we would win the battle, and that's very important during a football game.
The teeth, see, it's the teeth.
He's got an old shy. Look at him. He's got an old shy.
That's a nice one though, that you never hid. That's what he means, isn't it? By not a fisticuffs.
No, I'm not fighting. Yeah. No, not fighting. Physical fighting, just. You know, yeah. Getting stuck in.
Right. I wouldn't expect that from you at all, Craig.
I think to be honest, most of the players in that day that's how you were brought up.
No, yeah, your teeth.
When you did your apprenticeship or whatever it was, and Stevie was at Air United, I was in London as a youngster. If you shirked any tackles when you were in the youth team or whatever, you got told. On no uncertain terms.
I think I played with a guy called Jim McSherry. After I got in the first team, he played about 9 or 10 games. And he came up to me one day before a game, he said, "It's about time you got a yellow card." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He went, "Well, it's about time you kicked somebody." So I thought, oh no, something I need to do. So sure enough, I kicked somebody and got a yellow card.
And you never looked back.
I never looked back. I kept on kicking people.
All right, next one for you, Stevie, from ESPN.
Kay, I have another. I have just another first impression about Craig. The first time he talked to me, with his beautiful Scottish accent.
No.
And I thought, okay, what kind of language is that, you know? Is it Frenchie? Are you doing meat? Well, I got nothing. I got nothing. I barely get something
again?
Now.
Yeah.
It's...
yeah, what country was that?
Hey, can you come in?
Are you a reet, mate?
That was Scouse.
Are you a reet, mate? He's a Frenchie. He's a Frenchie.
To be fair, we was
well,
to be fair,
that's
we had,
almost the
we
same
had,
for me.
We had French, we had Italian, we had Dutch, we had a Russian goalkeeper, we had I'm honestly this Chelsea with Norwegians, Danes.
17 different nationalities. 17.
Was it?
The first year I came.
Yeah, it was a lot.
17,
big,
yeah because I it was crazy.
There was a few
crazy.
There was a few Brits. Not many.
Not
they used
many.
To they used to use the bad language.
Right. And that's how these lot all learned it. Frank used to talk a lot, I don't believe you.
Yeah, he did.
ESPN
never, nobody ever said to him, Frank, shut up. Nobody.
Until he met Dan Thomas.
In training.
All right.
Yeah,
Stevie.
Exactly.
What thoughts go through the minds of players for clubs going through difficult transitional periods, such as Manchester United, Arsenal, especially Barcelona currently? It looked like Barca were playing the game expecting to lose and not even be able to get a point from the match.
Why didn't I come here when they were good?
Yeah.
How about that? How about... are we going to get any better soon?
Yeah, but what about if you're one of the players who's been through all the success and then you're there? That's got to be tougher, right?
It's very frustrating. And actually, you can't figure it out at the time. I went through that with Liverpool. You know, from the 89-90 team to when I left 94, so many changes. Certainly changes in position in the table, losing games you shouldn't. It's frustrating. But at the end of the day, you actually, when you leave and you look back, you end up realising how lucky you were to be there when they were so good.
Right.
And that 90% of players, or probably 95% of professional players, never get the chance to play with a team that good. At the time, you're thinking it's everybody else is not good enough, but it's not until you finish and you look back and you realise how lucky you were that you played with a group of players that were actually that good.
Right. OK,
good questions.
I know, we've got two left.
That means tomorrow's questions are going to be absolutely guff.
We'll
Fortunately,
see.
You off tomorrow?
I'll be
We're
here.
Off tomorrow, that's good.
I'll be here, I'll report back. Are you here, Frank?
You Frank?
No, I'm off too. Sorry.
All right, I'll report back. Right.
You're off?
I'm here, yeah.
Somebody's keeping up there.
Aye.
Keeping up the
a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Yeah. Right. Stevie, on rumours that United fans have stopped eating desserts since Ronaldo has come back, would you give up mince or shepherd's pie for anyone?
Not a chance. Not a chance. No way.
Even if someone with a 10-pack walks into the dressing room.
I couldn't care less. Not a chance.
Listen, trust me. If he was being held in captivity somewhere...
yeah.
And the offer was that he had to give up that mince and tatties to be released. He would stay where he was.
Have they stuck?
So I'm interested in this now. When I was working at Real Madrid, one of the managers that came in banned ketchup and many other things, but ketchup was one of them. What are some of the things that have been banned during your playing days under different managers?
Salt.
Oh.
Salt.
Fizzy water.
Beer.
I don't want to tell the sparkling story one again because I've told it 100 times. Sparkling water. It was banned.
Water.
Yeah, only still water, which didn't please one of my colleagues, and he's a big lad.
Right.
Banged it to the death.
Fish and chips and beer on the bus on the way home after the game.
I wonder why.
Who would have thought that would have ever have been banned?
Yeah.
Frank, any managers that put the ban on certain foods or drinks for you, and what were they?
Well, not in France, but when I came to Chelsea, was it Gullit? I think it's Viali who brought an Italian chef to stop all the food that the English was offering to us and go to a normal, traditional, sporty food, let's say. So everything
normal.
Was English was in the bin. Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, because we had the canteen. We had above the old training ground at the university where Chelsea used to rent it, where Frank and I used to train. Obviously, they've got their own private one in Cobham now. But we had a canteen upstairs. And it was, I mean, it wasn't... It was okay, but it wasn't to... Obviously, it wasn't rude, it changed it. Yeah, Frank's right, it was Vialli.
Right.
Well, I say it was okay, Frank, come on.
No, what that was ugly. Know, that was awful, that was awful.
Well, what they didn't know, right, around the corner from the training ground, there was a bus park for all the shuttle buses that used to go from the hotels to the airport, right?
Right.
Now, the British lads sussed out this was here, and on this bus was there was one bus that didn't move, and it was rejigged into a kitchen for all the workers to go and get the greasiest English breakfast and everything you can get. And we used to go around there and,
oh, good, is that
and sit in the bus with the workers that were working, and we used to have the most unhealthy breakfast before training and lunch as well. Brilliant.
There's always a little sneaky way around it, right?
Around the corner, about half a mile from the training ground.
That explains many, many things now. I understand better our performances.
Lastly.
Well, Wisey was the cheerleader for that one, Dennis.
Dennis Wise, the cheerleader for what?
Taking the boys round for the greasy spoon bus, followed quickly by me and a few others. But it was brilliant.
All right. None of the Frenchmen, though.
No. Frank was the only Frenchman.
Frank, the only Frenchman. Definitely not the
one
Italian.
One was enough. They were down at the bottom getting frogs. You know,
one was enough.
Okay, lastly. This is very nice.
Oh.
Doesn't Craig Burley look extremely happy since Dan Thomas stopped showing up to work? Did he wish Dan to get well soon?
Well, actually, you have to be honest. yesterday was my first day in since Dan hasn't been in. So my last day in was last Wednesday because I've been doing something else. And Dan took ill on the Thursday, I believe. So I haven't actually been in. So I was in yesterday and I was really grumpy. So I don't...
So it's a mere coincidence?
Is it? No.
Is somebody watching this ahead of time or something?
No.
I don't know.
No idea.
Okay. Well,
the answer is, what was the other part of the question?
Have you wished him well?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, we all wish him well, and he should be back by early next week.
I haven't been to the hospital to see him.
I spoke to him today.
We love you, Dan.
Big love.
By the way, he was meant to be coming around my house Friday night to do something on the computer to help me and my wife. And he sent me a message today saying,
how dare he get ill and not help you?
I don't think I'm going to get out of hospital on time. I thought, typical. Hey, selfish. What about me and Elmer?
Well, I cover for him, on everything else, so should I come and help you with it?
Okay, that was a roundabout way of
somebody.
Asking. Let's be honest. We all know there's nothing wrong with Dan. There's nothing wrong with him.
He's just got his feet up.
He's in there for the sympathy vote. See who comes round to visit me, bring some fruit.
You can give him some stick next week because he should be back next week. Yeah.
He won't be back before Friday.
Not before the weekend.
If he thinks he's going to have a little spell in hospital and that's going to mean we're going to take it easy on him, he's mistaken.
Forget it.
Okay.
Forget it.
There you go. You've got a lot to look forward to when you return to action.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's all about him.
How did you rate today's extra time?
I must admit, yesterday's extra time I thought was absolutely abysmal. Right, quite frankly, I was despondent last night. I couldn't sleep. And today, I thought the questions were actually very good today. We must have had some, either we filtered them properly today or we had some sensible viewers.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure which one it is.
Well done, all of you at home. Thank you so much for your questions. Thank you so much for everybody watching. Thanks to the team for
being here. Back to the normal guff tomorrow.
Back to normal tomorrow. Don't worry, these guys aren't here, so join us. ESPN FC available daily. We'll be back tomorrow. At least I will.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.